OS 89.3 Olympia. Tonight we got Kisa from Good Thinking for All Relations. She'll be calling in very soon. Thank you for tuning in.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today. To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way. To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people. To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead. To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed. And denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
The truth that lies in our hearts, all my relations.
How metakepi the shunka wakang wichasha imachapi arvo looking horse, and I am from Shannon River Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. You're listening to KAOS 89.3 FM in Olympia. Make no bones about it.
Reach and service, and one way that we meet that commitment is through public service announcements. Unlike major media, KAOS runs PSAs throughout our broadcast day. And they're free. If you are involved with a nonprofit organization or student group, you can have a public service announcement produced and played free of cost on our station. Just email us the information about your organization, need for volunteers, or event to chaos@evergreen.edu or call 360-867-6898.
And you're listening to Make No Bones About It. This is Raven Redbone, and tonight we're going to have Kisa from Good Thinking call in. He's got a lot of things that he would like to share. Actually, I think that's him, and we'll You're on the air. Hey, Kisa, how you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. We're just
I'm on the air already.
Yeah, already, man. That quick. So yeah. So appreciate you calling and just telling folks a little bit about what's going on. But seeing I got you on the line here, we can talk a little bit about all the activity that's happening with Good Thinking. And first, I'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, and thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah, well, I'm Kisa. I'm the founder and director of Good Thinking for All Our Relations. We're a 501c3 nonprofit that helps children and elders in severe poverty conditions across the country here. And before I get into the rest of it, I have to offer again a really big thank you to the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe. Right now, grant funding is few and far between. It's so difficult to get any kind of funding, and we're helping children. And Muckleshoot always steps up and helps us because they know we're helping children. They were the first to help us, and they always help us. And I just wanted to offer a thank you to them for all the help they give us. What we're doing right now is we got our community garden going. I'm actually at the community garden, and I'm standing out here by the beehives, hoping they'll come by so you can hear them go. And we're going to start putting beehives on the reservations that are in severe poverty to help them bring in some funding. We have a very large community garden that we're actually starting to harvest, and we just give away all the vegetables to the elders. We got chicken coops up here, and we're going to start getting eggs real soon, and we're going to give away the eggs to families in need and to elders. Right now, we're planning a trip to Rosebud, South Dakota. We're partnering with the tribe itself and with the St. Francis School. It's now owned and operated by the tribe. And we're going to go out there and we're going to do everything we can to help the people there live a better life. We just recently were offered their community center to work out of. So we're going to start having homework, after school programs where kids can come in and do homework, places for people to come and be safe. We're going to spend a lot of time with elders there. We're getting a whole bunch of beads from Shipwreck Beads, hopefully, and we're going to take that out there so they can share what they know about beads with the children and just to have a safe place for them. And we're actually going to try to go through the Gates Foundation to get some computers to help them if they're willing to help us that way. And other than that, we're just trying to keep things rolling. We have Rosebud, 89% of the families are in severe poverty conditions. We're working with, right now on Monday, we're shipping 21 pairs of shoes to 7th and 8th grade girls there. And again, thank you, Muckleshoot. They helped us be able to do this. They were going to school in socks and slippers. They don't have shoes. And they're getting sent home because they don't have shoes. So tomorrow we're going to ship them the shoes and some socks so they can go to school. It's really, the conditions there are really, really bad. And we have one of our board members, she's got a heart as big as the sun. She quit her lucrative job, sold her home, and took her children and her family, and she's going to be a teacher in Rosebud, and she's living there now. And we're going to start building the things that we have going on here in Washington. We're going to start doing those same things in Rosebud and help all of the tribes in the area. So we got a lot of work ahead of us, and funding would be very much appreciated. We also just got we became officially sponsored this week by the National Association of Business Women. I think that's what they're called. I better get it right. And we're going to be on their website. They're a very large organization. Maybe we could get a little help through them and Value Village. Value Village, if anybody is tired of Goodwill and they can't get it to us, please take it to Value Village. Value Village is going to start giving us children's coats and shoes and just about anything we need for children every month throughout the year. They're going to keep us as much as they can supplied with warmth, blankets included, for children and elders. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I wanted to just share with folks what you were saying. It's the National Association of Professional Women, and their website is www.napw.com. And they're I'm just now on their website, so I people want to know who they are. It says here that they are NAPW defines success as owning your own power as the largest non-recognized networking organization of professional women in the country, spanning virtually every industry and profession. The National Association of Professional Women is a powerful, vibrant networking community with over 600,000 members.
Yeah, they're pretty big, and they got Oprah, so I guess that makes them really big. And they said they're going to put, I think next week, our banner and links to our website and email address to be on there. And if anybody doesn't know our email address, it's www.4allourelationsdot org. It's www.4allourelationsdot org. If you have anybody wants to find it and you're having trouble, just go to Google and Google good thinking, one word, and the number 4. We fill the whole page.
Absolutely. Oh, I hear the, is that a rooster here back there?
Yeah, that's our chickens, man.
Yeah. How many chickens that you got now?
We started with 22 and we got 18 now, because when they roost, they get on the fence around the coop, and you know, that's what chickens do, and then they come outside the coop and they can't get back in, and 4 of them decided to help some coyote's families have something to eat. So we're down to 18 now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to clip their wings. Now they can't fly no more.
So myself, just thinking about, you got beehives, you got chickens, and I know you said you're going to have eggs that are going to go to the people, and then the garden you have. Can you talk a little bit about the garden and your hopes for bringing that to some of the reservations across the country?
Yeah, basically what happened was, we've been trying to get grant funding for community gardens to go put gardens on the poorest of the poor reses across the country. And we found out through some of our friends that are in positions of letting us know with big organizations that we have to produce a basketful of vegetables for them. Everybody knows it's really easy to garden, but it's not really that easy. So we started a community garden up here, and what we're doing, we already got the photographs and everything, the documentation of everything. And what we're doing up here, what they're doing with all the vegetables is, the property is outside of Darrington, more towards the mountains, and there's a lot of elders that live out here. And what they're doing with all the vegetables is they're taking them to the elders' homes and giving them to them. We're also doing we've been splitting a lot of wood up here for the past couple months. We got about 8-10 cords of wood that we've split. And day before I came up, there was an elder, she's in her early 80s. Her husband died at the beginning of the year, and she's alone. And she doesn't have the money for wood. And brother here heard about it, so he went to talk to her, and they went and took her and gave her a cord of wood. You know, split it nice and small for her. And that's what we're doing. We're getting all this wood gathered because the winter's coming, trying to get this food together because the winter's coming. And first and foremost, the people that are paying attention to us, we're trying to teach everybody by example. This is what you do. And if you do this, you know, if everybody listening would plant some veggies, around this time of the year, if they planted them in springtime, they wouldn't be having to buy vegetables on the market right now. They could use that money for other things. So with our community garden, what we're going to do is it's about, I'm standing in front of it, it's about 50 feet wide and 100 feet long, maybe more than that. And we're just going to take this exact same garden and put it on the different residents that are willing to work with us. And by that, I mean, we're not going to go there and rototill the dirt there and do all the work there. We're going to go there and help them have a community garden. If they're willing to work for it, we're willing to help them. And I'm standing right here right now looking at these big old giant zucchinis.
Man. So, I'm trying to think about so you're going to Rosebud, and this is very soon. And are you going to start work down there with some type of setting and some type of garden for them for next year, or
we're gonna take all the stuff. We use PVC pipe and plastic to make greenhouses, so we're gonna take the stuff and build a greenhouse there, and we're gonna try some. Experiment with some indoor vegetables, things that we know will grow, and see if they'll make it through the winter. And if not, then we'll just rototill them, and that'll all be mulch for springtime when we can plant a full garden for them. We're doing our gardens are 80% vegetable and then some fruit.
All right. So When are you taking off to go down there? I know that everything's getting set up.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah. We're right now they want me to come out in 2 weeks, and what we're waiting on. There's a few things loose ends we gotta tie up here before I go, but funding. We're waiting on funding. You know, the every dollar counts. We're gonna be on the road and. We'll have it to get there, and we should have enough to get back. But, you know, things happen on the road. We might get a blowout. Something might happen.
Yeah.
And we don't have the money to cover that.
Especially now with, I'm reading here, it's the first snowfall they've had this early in 120 years.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
Well, we have to gear up and make sure that you're okay when you're on the road and get the vehicle taken care of. And you're going to be taking the big box van down there full of things.
We figured already. We did the figure. I'm going to stay there for about a month. But just the drive, the fuel cost is going to be about $1,300 up and back. And we need a couple of tires, and I got a tire guy that gives it to him. It's really cheap, but we're going to have to get a couple of the inside back tires need to be replaced. And then we're on our way, you know, but we have enough for fuel. So, you know, that means sleep in the van and sleep at rest stops and stuff like that, and put some food in, you know, some kind of ice chest or something so we have something to eat. And when we get there, we'll get fed real good and everything, but it's just, you know, it's how we do things. If we don't have enough to cover, you know, things that are needed, like eating, we go anyway. You know, we can miss a meal or two. The kids need the help. And just on the fuel prices, what it's going to cost us in fuel, around $1,300 to get there and back, we're going to take approximately anywhere between $85,000 and $100,000 with the warmth. So, to us, it costs over $40 a box to ship, and we're saving three times the amount of money taking it.
Yeah, plus being down there to set up, because that's going to be. Can we talk a little bit about how you're going down to help set up a central location there for things to be shipped in and out of, and how that's going to expedite getting the people what they need.
Yeah, what we're working on doing is we're going to set it up where the graduating class of St. Francis School, it's a K through 12 school, and the graduating class has already offered their help, and that we'll have things shipped there. And right now, everything gets shipped to our home office. We're going to have half of the things that people are shipping shipped to the St. Francis Community Center. And the graduating seniors are going to go through all the clothes, fold them up neatly and put them, stack them in a nice, neat area. And the people there can come there, and it'll be like a thrift store, except it doesn't cost nothing. And the people that need clothing for their children could come in there, and the graduating class will help them with whatever they need.
Cool.
The teachers at St. Francis have already agreed to offer each one of them at least one night, 2 or 3 hours after work, and some of them more often are offering their service to be tutors. So they're going to come there and hang out at the center, and the children that need help, they're going to tutor them for free. So the kids that are falling behind, they'll be able to catch up.
Wow. And so it looks like it's going to be a central location, and they'll be able to eventually. I like that. It'll be a central location for people also to help in that area, all of South Dakota.
Yes. We're gonna be focusing on all 7 of the Lakota tribes out there. So our liaisons on each of the other 6 tribes, they know already that if they have a need to contact Heather and Rosebud, and if they don't have it there, she'll contact me. We'll try to get it there for them. And this way, the people can come to Rosebud to get the help they need. And for those that can't, we'll find a way to get it to them. Yeah, the rooster does that when you get close to the hens.
You better get away from him, brother.
I'm standing right by the fence. And he doesn't like it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing all this, and as you know, maybe the folks listening don't know, we're operating on a shoestring budget. We have very, very little funding. Very little. And we just take every dime that we can and find ways to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it was just dimes to make it work. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you talk about winter, and I know that you don't want to hear this, but winter is happening in South Dakota really quickly. And I read a lot of elders that, and not just elders, but mostly elders that don't have propane or anything to heat their house. And as we know, those houses are not fully insulated to begin with. And, you know, we hear people dying. And so I know that if people wanted to, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if they wanted to help donate for propane, that you have something set up. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And if people send it in a donation, that they could designate it for propane.
Yes. When you go to our website, you click on the donate button, and we have a PayPal account. And it will ask you specifically what it's for. And if anybody types in propane, then every penny of that will go to propane. If it says for warmth, every penny will go to warmth. By that I mean, if I'm stuck in South Dakota and I can't get home, and we got $1,200 in our account, and all that money was donated to us for propane, we're not going to use any of that money to get me home. We won't do it. I'm just staying there. That's all there is to it. Right? Because the people from their heart, see, we are our organization, we function under a very interesting principle. And the principle is we operate under a covenant, under the jurisdiction of a covenant with creation. And we're going to keep that covenant. We're not going to break the rules, you know, because there's serious ramifications if you do. And we're not going to break them because we're just not going to. We made a deal. And the deal is we're going to help the children. My grandmother told me when growing up to always remember if there's any children anywhere suffering, we're all failing as human beings. And that the children are the personal possession of creation itself. We're here to take care of them. So my grandmother taught me as I was growing up. So we're there to help people. And if people want to donate for propane, that whatever they donate will go to propane. And something a lot of people don't know, the homes that are heated by propane, right, that's the only means of heating their home, it's also the only means for warming their water to take a bath or a shower. And it's their only means to cook because the stoves will run out for propane too. So if they have no propane in their house, then they can't bathe or eat or cook anything. You know, propane runs the house. It's the water heater. It's ran off of propane. And the stoves are ran off of propane. So the folks that are in places where they have very severe winters and their home is hooked up to a large propane tank, if that propane tank is empty, they have nothing. They can't even, it's, you know, 20 below zero. You can't take a cold shower when it's 20 below zero. You get sick. And that's just the way it is. So we do everything we can to help them. And our friend Heather, who's over there, the home that she's in has a large basement in it. And she's already went out of her own pocket and got cots and as many sleeping bags and blankets as she can get. And she told me when the winter comes, if there's anybody that doesn't have warmth and she has propane, then they're welcome to come and stay at her house. That's the kind of woman she is. That's what she's doing over there. She's inviting people into her home. And if there's a need, she's going to do everything she can to help. Just like the budget cuts. The school started, this is going to be the beginning of the third week of school and on Rosebud. The school itself still hasn't got any school supplies. None. No pens, no pencils, no paper. So again, what Heather did out of her own pocket is she's teaching 11th and 12th grade. She went out of her own pocket and bought enough pens, pencils, and papers for all of her classes. And we had a couple of people that wanted to help us in that way, and we had them send them to her at that school to help the other kids. It's there's a lot going on back there and along a lot of the residents that people really don't understand, you know, how it works. Because of budget, government cuts on budgets and stuff, in South Dakota, on the two residents that we deal with, the tribes are kind of forced to, when the little bit of funding they get for school supplies, they're having to give it to those that are one half to four-fourths blood quorum because there's not enough for everybody, right? And that's what they choose to do. They go by blood quorum. Whoever has the most gets first. And more than half of the kids are less than a half, so they're getting nothing. Yes, it's a sad situation when we got, you know, we get a letter from a school saying that, well, we got these 20, it's actually 21 kids. It's 21 kids that the only reason they knew they didn't have shoes is because they went to go join the volleyball team. Heather and the people there are starting a volleyball team to give these children something to do after school. And they came and joined the volleyball team, and some in socks and some in bare feet. And they told them they have to wear shoes. And they told them, well, we don't have any shoes. So, you know, there's kids that are going to school that don't even have shoes on their feet, which is bad enough. That's just unspeakable. Yeah. But on top of that, in about 2 months from now, if they don't have shoes, they're going to be going to school in 4 feet of snow with no shoes on their feet.
Right. And I know that you posted on Facebook some of the sizes that you're looking for, people are interested in helping that way. And can we talk a little bit about your Facebook page? And you did say for all our relations dot, is it .com or .org?
.org, our website.
Right, and so people can go through there, they can go through the Facebook page.
Yeah, our group page on Facebook is Good Thinking for All Our Relations. And you just got to, you know, put a thing in there, request to be part of the group, and we welcome everyone. And if it's someone that needs to ask questions, then I have a personal page that I'll give them the link to, and they can send a friend request to the personal page, and then we can talk more and get more things done. And, for example, with the shoes for these young girls, if, for instance, it's today, four different people send enough funding or fill that list and send the shoes, it's obviously that's too many shoes for that those girls that need them. What we'll do is we'll take the other shoes and we'll make sure they get to a child that doesn't have shoes on their feet. There's a lot of residents that were in the same condition. And we'll do whatever we can to help them. We'll help the folks either in the Southwest, in the Midwest, you know, Anishinaabe or even up in Montana. It's really bad in Montana in some areas. You know, we're in contact with a lot of the people on the reses and in urban areas too. We work with the urban areas too, the urban Indians. And just to let everybody know that's listening, we help all people. We focus on Native Americans, okay? We focus on Natives. We focus on the reses. But if we know of anyone, if somebody contacts us and says that there's this German woman that lives in our neighborhood and she's hurting for food, and we can get to her, we'll get her food. You know, we don't just help Natives. We'll help anybody we know the need.
Right.
That's just how we do things.
I know that...
It's just legally, our nonprofit status is for helping Natives. But we found a way to sneak around it, slip around it, where we help North Americans. Right? And if you're a North American and, you know, you're a family that doesn't have diapers, you have a kid and no diapers, and if you're in the area and you contact us, we'll do what we can to help you.
Absolutely. And it's 4:30, and you're listening to KAOS 89.3 Olympia. We're talking with Kisa from Good Thinking, and I just got to do this one station ID, Kisa, and we'll be right back. So hold on one second.
All right.
Do you want to know what's going on in Native America? Tune in to National Native News on KAOS. National Native News brings you the top stories from Indigenous communities across the United States and around the world. Our perspective is Native, but the stories appeal to audiences with a diverse perspective. You can listen to National Native News weekday afternoons at 3 on KAOS, Olympia's listener-supported, volunteer-powered community radio station.
Yes, and we're still here. We're with Kisa. Are you there, Kisa?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I also wanted to just talk a little bit about some of the other projects that that you got going here in this area. Oh. And I know that you know, what you just said, I know that you were working with Darrington. I don't know how long you guys were there, for months and months helping out there. And I know that you're still doing things for the people there. So I wanted to talk about some of the projects locally, and that some of the outreach that you been working through. I'm not sure all the logistics. I know that from Lummi to Macaw to all around this area,
we're working with an organization we just started working with, and we don't have the legal right to say their name yet, but they're going to start doing a lot of things with hygiene products. And they have a bicycle refurbishing thing they're doing, where they get a bunch of old bikes that are beat up, and they take all the parts and clean them all up and make bikes out of them, good running bikes. And they offered to give us a bunch of bikes, 9 or 10 bikes. I forget the exact number right now. But there's a family we know up in Lummi a brother of ours who adopts in a lot of children, and he takes care of the kids, and we're going to take all those bikes up to his family so that those kids could have bikes. They don't have bikes. We're up here in Darrington. We're still working up here with the folks in Darrington. The landslide is over. They say on the news that the work is about done, but it's not. I went through the road that goes through, and you're still stopped for about a half an hour waiting. But at least the road goes through now. And there's a lot of families up here that have lost their jobs, and they're hurting. You know, the news, the media is gone and all that stuff, but the people are still going without up here. You know, they have no money. You know, it's really hard up here. So we up here where we with the property where the folks are letting us have our beehives and our gardens and stuff. A sister here that's been with us for a long time. Everything that we do up here, they these folks here take care of the elders and the families up here with whatever they need. So when I come up here, I'll bring the van and I'll have it loaded with about 10 or 12 boxes of clothes and blankets and stuff. And we leave them here, and by the next time I'm here, they're gone. And it's been that way since the slide happened. We're working with the Seattle Indian Center. We're going to need as many sleeping bags as possible come this winter for the families that are homeless. And, you know, it's a sad situation, but they have nowhere to live. So they're living outdoors. And their kids are still going to school, and they asked me if we can get them sleeping bags come this winter. Coats, children's coats and sleeping bags. If anybody could help with winter shoes for children, all that will go to the Seattle Indian Center. We go down occasionally to the waterfront and talk to the folks down there and see what we can do to help their families. You know, we're doing a lot of things these days. We're getting bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, you know, the funding's not. But we're doing what we can. We're struggling and keeping it afloat.
All right. And so there's my clock.
Yeah. And one thing I got to say before we go, man, is I want everybody to understand one of the most important things I've learned since we started this organization, Good Thinking for All Our Relations, one of the most important things I've learned is that, myself included, we all have wounds. We all have scars, all of us. We've all been hurt, and we've all hurt others in one way or another, and we're hurting because of that too. And what I've found out is that when you help others, don't judge them. Don't look down on them. Look them in the eye as a human being. Give them a hug, no matter how dirty they are, even if they smell. Give them a hug. Help them with whatever little bit you can help them. What I found out is that heals my wounds and my scars, and all of those that work with us say the exact same thing, that our wounds and our scars are healing. And it has nothing to do with anything other than the mystical work of what put us here. You know, it's a mystery how it works. There's no words that can explain it. But what's happening, even in you look on the news, what's going on in the world, going on in this country all over the place and all over the world, there's all kinds of chaos and turmoil and just killing, and it's just crazy. And if we all started acting like human beings and caring for one another and helping one another, I can guarantee to everybody that all the bad stuff and all the ugly will go away. We all just started caring for one another.
I'm with you.
Doing something to help anybody, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you can't help us or you don't want to help us, that's fine. Please help somebody. Help anybody. Help somebody you don't know.
Yeah,
help somebody you'll never see again.
We never know what the other person's walking in, and it's so true to be able to help one another. And you know, you always it always comes back, you know. I feel all of it comes back, and but like my dad said a long time ago, when I was very little, 4 years old, my dad Art, he said this, and he was a very, very giving man. And I can tell you stories, Kisa, like people that didn't have shoes. He was a shoe salesman, and they'd come by and didn't have shoes, and next day they'd be miraculously on the table of that person that needed them. And my dad would always say, you know, you don't give to receive in this world. We just give when people need the help. And I know that to be true. And I know that we're all here. And you're right. We've all been wounded. Everybody that's walking today has been wounded in one way or another. You know, I know that I've said this before, and I know the wound's the deepest in indigenous people all over, because they were the first to be contacted by whatever this energy is that came in. And it's up to us now to come together to help. And there are a lot of people we see all over that don't have anything, and they're really struggling, and it's important for us to help. And I'm grateful that I work for a place that allows me to, you know, in the later part of the months, we have a celebration at my job, and I'm able to gather the warmth to bring to the people. And I'm real grateful that I work for an agency that allows that to happen. And the people are very giving, and you know, it takes all of us. And I know what you're saying also with the killing and all the things that are happening. If we just not focus on that, because there's enough. I think in my heart there's enough for everyone. And but what you said earlier in the beginning of the show, when we are not helping the children and the elders, but mostly the children, we are, all of us are failing as people.
Yeah, it's so true. Your dad said,
he said it in the,
give without expecting in return.
Right. He said, we don't give to receive. We give.
Exactly. That's beautiful. My grandma had a teaching she gave us growing up, and it was always give whatever you have. Always share. Always give what you have. Always do for others. She said, never expect anything in return, because you were given life. Right. What more can you ask for?
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And you know, one thing that folks, you know, we get caught up in our daily stuff, and it's a struggle to survive. And we don't have time to remember the things that were a part of us in the moment of our birth, you know. And one of the things that's part of us, that's part of the gift of being born, is none of us are here for ourselves. We're here to help one another, you know. I was driving with some elders recently, and there was that bumper sticker that said, whoever gathers the most toys wins. And the elder in the front seat, he said, whoever gathers the most toys loses. We're not here to gather. We're not here to gather toys, is what he said. We're here to help one another. No. And until we start doing that, unfortunately, things are not going to get better. You know, we were all put here for a reason. You know, and I know every religious and spiritual organization that ever existed says the same thing. But the truth is, we were all put here for a reason. You know, and part of that reason is creation knew that there was going to be those in need the time that we are standing here breathing. And it gave us whatever we're going to need to help those in need. It's up to us as individuals to do what creation intended. We don't have to. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
I prefer to do what creation intended. That's just my choice.
Yeah.
Right? And because I've learned to see things a lot clearer. You know, a lot of my faults, they just kind of went away. I didn't struggle with it. I didn't try to stop it. They just went away. Because I think it's because I'm busy doing other things. You know?
Yeah.
it's just, you know, I'm so grateful that you allow us to have this conversation on the air where a lot of people get to hear. And the truth is, folks listening, it's sad that we'll go out of our way to get tickets to a good concert that we really want to see, and we're not willing to go out of our way to help somebody in need. It's sad that there's people in need, period.
Yeah.
You know? And even those that are in need, you could spare a little bit.
Yeah. I also want to just say that, what you were saying, like my heart, when I know that, we all know that, I know this, we all know that we need each other, you know, and we need to be able to help each other and not be afraid of one another, you know, to be able to help or to ask for help. Those kind of things, it's really important for all of us to do as people. And as we're growing more and more with the like you're talking about, the chaos that you were talking about, we're going to need each other more and more. And so now, is to me, I felt this way my whole life. Like you said, I didn't come here to be served, I came to serve. And so I want to help as much as I can, you know. And I know that the creation will take care of everything else. You know, if I'm doing what creation, like you say, intended us to do, and it's to help each other. That's why I have these conversations once a week on the air about the things that we need to be doing. You know, like we have gotten too far away from creation, and not being able to see each other.
Yeah, that's so true. And what folks don't understand anymore is the children. All of our children, they are very, very sacred. And our children learn by example, right? So all that we do, they're learning that's what they are to do. All that we do not do, they're learning that's what they should not do. And they see when we're helping others in need. We're teaching them this is what we're here to do. We're teaching them how to help others that are in need. You see? Yeah, we're teaching the kids how to grow food, grow your own food. You know, we're teaching our children all these things when we're doing that. And what people don't remember anymore is that as we grow away from whatever put us here, by helping our children and teaching them properly and working with them, that's going to help us get back to where we need to be.
Absolutely. And I know with my kids and how they love to help people, and it makes my heart warm when they want to help other kids especially. And, you know, and that they grow, and as we grow up, you know, we bring that with us. I'll never, like, my dad, like, I know, like, I'm myself, but I have a lot of my dad in me because I saw him all the time. And my mom, too. But I just remember my dad and how he, you know, how people loved him, and how he, you know, he was just a good human being, and he took care of people when they needed to. And, you know, like I said, he told me that when I was 4 years old going on five, you know, we don't give to receive, we just give. And and there's enough.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with one of the elders up there, and she just told me to say something, and what she said was to remember the creation gave us hands to work with, the earth, to put them in the earth, and creation gave us hands to give to others, so we have the ability to hand things to others to help them. It didn't give us hands to take from others. We weren't given hands to play on cell phones and other things like that. We are given hands to work in the earth with and to share with one another. That's what the elders said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's fortunate in that, you know, because of good thinking, I'm able to sit here with elders like this that are very, very wise and very loving. She's telling me right now to tell everybody to remember, don't give from your wallet, give from your heart. You know, to give from your heart.
Oh, yes.
That's what's missing. That's the piece that's missing with everybody. You know, we don't give from our heart. We don't do from our heart. Not our true heart. You know, making it to the football game and getting real excited over that is lots of fun. But that's not from the heart. The heart takes care of one another. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of go spending all that money on a football game, there's some children that don't got no food. I think that's a lot more important than watching a football game.
You know, there's enough to do both. You know, that's the one other thing an elder told me, that there's enough to do. You don't have to give up anything to help help somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Absolutely. And just to, I got to plug them because I don't know if I told you yet. There's a man that we know and a friend of his that's doing a concert in Nebraska in a couple of weeks. To stop the Keystone Pipeline, a guy named Uncle Willie and another guy named Neil Young, they gave, through good thinking, they gave the seniors at St. Francis High School on Rosebud, they gave them passes to come to the concert and represent their tribe, and they're going to try to work it out where they could come on stage and ask personally, ask the people to please stop the pipeline. So I just wanted to say thank you to Uncle Willie and a big thank you to Neil Young. You know, what you guys did was amazing because the concert was completely sold out. So whatever strings they had to pull, they pulled them. And all the seniors from the school in Rosebud where we're working in at now, they're all going to be able to go to the concert.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a couple more minutes, and I just want to tell people you can go to forallourrelations.org. You could also go, there's a phone, 253-735-3000, or contact, email is forallourrelations, the number, forallourrelations.org. And on this page, you can go to all the other pages that there is. It's really nicely designed, and there's a Facebook page in the top. There's a, looks like a Twitter thing, and then an email up in the corner.
Yeah, we tweet, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And we got a blog and all that. I don't know nothing about that stuff. Dehotra Technologies does all that. They go take care of all of our website and all that stuff. You know, and before we go, you know, I like to ask everybody that's listening that wherever you're at, my relations, wherever you're at, there's elders somewhere. And before you go to bed tonight, will you please go check on them? Just go knock on the door and ask them if they're okay, if they need anything. You know?
All right.
Don't forget them this winter. Winter's coming. You know? Don't forget them. You go to your elders. They'll argue with you. You tell them, no, you're coming home with us. It's too damn cold. Take them to your home. Treat them like family. Okay?
Yep, we're good. And I appreciate you calling, and we'll be in touch. Thank you. And, have a great night. And I noticed the rooster stopped crowing. Did you move away from the hen house?
Yeah, I'm way in the front of the house now. Yeah.
All right. So thanks for sharing with us this past hour. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Wait. And you're listening to KAOS 89.3 Olympia. And this is Ray Redbone. Make no bones about it. Thank you for tuning in.
Comments made during the broadcast of No Bones About It do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or underwriters of KAOS Radio or the Evergreen State College. Opinions expressed are those of the host and the guests on the program.
There's only one authorized online source for